Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
Good morning to you, or good afternoon, good night, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to episode 70 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland. I'm the host of the program, also the producer, the editor, the director. I write the script, if we have a script. I do all those things. But it's really good to have you along today. Appreciate you being with me. We are the first 6 or 7 minutes into what is a fairly cool morning. It was 51 degrees when I left the house. And I had on a short sleeve shirt, but thought better of it. And before I actually left the house, decided to slip on a long sleeve shirt, which now I'm glad I did. Feels perfect. With light gloves though, I can already tell this quickly into the run that those are going to feel well as well. Not as cool as it's been. We've already been down in the low 40s. 42 yesterday morning. High yesterday was 79 degrees. Made it up to 80 actually. High today is 78. Then tomorrow's rain, 69. But today is the 19th of October, 2010. Tuesday. Right now it's probably 6 o'clock in the morning. I got up about 25 to 6 by the time I got ready, got out here. It's probably been 25 minutes or so, and it is completely dark, other than the street lights. For Christmas, this past year, you know, actually it might have been the year before, we did gag gifts. My family, which gets together at my brother Sammy's house, and one of the gifts that kept floating around was this headlamp that will go from bright to medium light to dimmer light, and then a flasher, which is for just to be seen, not really to assist you in seeing. Well, I pulled that thing out last night and put it on my cap as a band, put my cap on, put the flasher on it, the light rather. Excuse me, we are climbing the big hill behind my house. Probably almost to the top of it. But when you have to attack a hill like that, first 8 minutes of a run or so, you can feel it. But I'm feeling okay so far. But anyway, I pulled the light out, put it on my head, thought about wearing it, and then for some reason decided that I would not, because we do have ample street lights. Although if I do have any notes to read, they are difficult to read because of my eyesight and because of the darkness. But we will, Lord willing, try to get by. Give you a gear check real quick. Today I am wearing my Nike Air Pegasus, which I believe next to the New Balance 768s probably have the most mileage on them. I'm sure they do. They've got well over 300, And then I have on my compression socks, come up just below my knee, right at my knee. A pair of white ones, which I thoroughly enjoy. And then I have on the, I forgot what brand these are, but I've had them a long time. My teal colored shorts with a liner in them. And then I've got on a blue Champion long sleeve technical tee that I bought at Walmart a couple years ago. Probably gave $8 for it, and it works fine. And then I've got on my 2009 North Carolina Marathon hat. Now, it can't be 2010. I don't know why. This is my lucky hat. But the 2009 cap, got it on, and then I have on the Nathan belt, which does not contain any reservoirs or water bottle holders or anything like that. But we've got that on. It just has a zip pocket on what technically would be the back. A mesh pocket, and then there's a pocket with a Velcro that I always wear it around front. Usually I'll pack some beans or gels in it. Since we're only going 7 miles today, cool as it is especially, I opted to not do that. I'm wearing the belt. In the belt I've got my house key, little bitty flashlight, LED flashlight, some notes that I'll probably refer to during this run, and I've got my recorder, which is a Sony, is it ICUD, something like that, with the mic, and the mic's running up my shirt on the front, and then over the back of my left ear, to the back of the cap, pinned on the bill. And then I've also, as always, have on the Road ID on my right wrist with all my information on it, a blue one, an older model that I've had for a couple years as well. And then to top things off, we have the Garmin, which so far, as I've gotten used to it, I really like it. It seems to do what I need it to do, and I really, really am getting used to it. So far, it's been exceptionally dependable. It does what I need to do. And for that, we are thankful. So that's where we are today. That's what we're doing. We're probably just over a mile now into this one. Well, my 768s, I did cross over the 400 mile barrier. I think we now have 403 point something on those. And as we talked about last week, we will continue to use those. And I am going to try to get 500 out of them. Now, I don't know if I can get the 750 Danny Dreyer, the author of Chi Running, talked about. But I believe I will try 500. Particularly as I rotate those with other shoes. I did wear them last run, long run, and they felt okay. So we're going to keep working at that. I tell you, it's dark out here. I got through patches where street lights are far apart. And if I wasn't familiar with the road, potentially it could be easy to stumble. But I'm now getting into the part of the run before high school where we are getting into a smaller development that has plenty of lights. Still practicing Chi, and we'll talk just a little more about that later, make references to it. I can tell you one thing, it's all about your core doing the work. Your core is got to be engaged in order for the Chi to work. Where you're tilting that pelvis, making it level. And it's really, it's neat, strange but neat. I'm at the point now where I don't consciously think about it. And when I do think about it, I can tweak and monitor, but I don't consciously think about it, except maybe every few minutes. And then when I do, I will tilt the pelvis, check the lengthening of my neck. Am I running flat-footed, pushing for rapid foot turnover, all that type of stuff. So, again, it's good to have you along for this episode. If you are a new listener, thanks for coming on board. And if you are an old faithful listener, well, that doesn't mean you're old, but I'm old. I'm 47 out here, 6 o'clock in the morning, running in cool weather. But actually, I feel as young as I've ever felt. It's one of the benefits of running. Not the one I'm going to talk about today, but it is one of the benefits of running. But if you're an old or long-time listener, we welcome you as well. If you wouldn't mind, share the podcast with others. I know this past couple of weeks, as far as total hits on all episodes combined, we hit a new plateau, which for me was pretty exciting in a month. But I won't share numbers because that's not important. But to me, it's a substantial number. And I can go to Podbean and log in and check that information, which I really don't do it very much, but when I put out a new episode, I will. And for the first time, we hit a certain number of total downloads for a month. Now, that's not for just one single episode, although those numbers also have increased. But when you put all the episodes together, we surpassed a number that in the, 20 months I've been doing this, 16 months maybe, that we never passed. So I want to thank you for that. And I encourage you, if you would, just if you enjoy the show, would you mind sending the information to your running buddies, guys and gals, and just tell them to check it out. Download an episode or two. The ones on Chi Running, I've had a lot of response to those. Because evidently, not that I'm very helpful, but the Chi Running is helpful. So if you could do that, I would certainly appreciate it. I want to give you an update on the training real quick before we get into today's topic here in just a few minutes. I've had a couple good weeks. This past week was a good one. And we ended up only getting on the road twice, but I ran 11.5 and 8.7, so we were able to get in 20, which was great. I ran 25.8 the week before that. Two runs this past week, 11.5 with two sets of heels, and the fastest mile on that was 8.51 for that 11.5 mile run, which for me is good. It seems like it's been a while since I've been able to run a sustained mile under 9 minutes because I haven't been as consistent. Plus, working with the Chi, I've been concentrating so much on my form that the speed has been behind. But just as Danny Dreyer says, once you get the form down, the speed will follow, and that is definitely true. And I'm finding that to be more and more true each day. The fastest pace we hit in that run was 7:24, which I think was also good. I felt amazing that day for the long run. It's really incredible. And I know you've been there. As you begin to concentrate on what you're doing and things begin to click. So that was first run of the week. Second run was 8.7, which we ran actually day before yesterday. So it's only been 36 hours, just over that. But on that run, we ran 8.7. And with that one, we also averaged 8.59 for the entire 8.7, which was good. I ran 10 minutes of tempo at around a 10K pace or so. and ended up running, I think, 4 of the 8 miles, under 9 minutes. And the fastest mile average on that was 8:11. And part of that took place because of the tempo. Okay, I just heard my Garmin. We're averaged 10:02 for the last mile. So after those two hard runs and difficult run of last week, or week rather, got in some good quality miles the week before. After that, and having run in less than 48 hours ago, I want to tell you today is a recovery run. Probably will not go under 9 minutes on anything. That's okay. But this coming week, we will plan to do 15 minutes of tempo. Probably do 2 more sets. Might move up to 3, but probably 2 sets of heels during the long run if we can. That's what I'm doing as well each week. Tempo work. Begin with 5 minutes. Going to build up to 40 to 45 minutes of that. And then the hill work will be work up to hopefully 4 or 5 sets of 4. In other words, a quarter way up the hill, back down, halfway down, 3/4 down, full hill down. Hope to end up doing 4 or 5 of those toward the end of the long run, which should max out at least 15, probably 16, as we get ready for the half. So that being said, the training for the half's going well. I'm at the point now where we're about 8 weeks out and every run is going to be critical. Oh, Mr. Bunny, running by a car at a townhouse, and a cute little rabbit was out there. Reminds me of last week's episode with the Green Acres. How did you like that? Sherry and I had a lot of fun with that. But no, as I said on Facebook, I'm not going to quit my day job. Won't be acting in my career. Although I did act in senior play in college. But, I mean, went to a small Christian school, and that was, you know, it wasn't covered by the media or anything. Not that it would be. My acting is nominal, but we had a lot of fun with that. But anyway, the rabbit is sitting under the car as I've circled around this sort of cul-de-sac, looking at me like, what are you doing in the streetlight? So that's where we are with the training. And just really thankful that it's going that well. So when I talk about the distances or my personal times in training, I don't say that to, not that you would, but for you to compare that to your own training, that's not the point at all. Because you're you and I'm me. As you'll hear in just a moment, a few minutes actually, I had an email from a new listener who began running several weeks ago. Well, he's not going to be up to running 11 and a half miles or 12, whatever, and certain times. His main goal, and yours as well, if you're in that category, is to develop a habit. So I give you those references, really, not, I mean this, not as a sense of saying, oh wow, look, I ran a whatever, but to let you know that, let's talk about my goals, how they play into that, as far as how the training is going. And when I tell you that I've run a certain time, that's always meant in retrospect to times that I need to run or historically what I've done, that type of thing. And when I run a certain distance in a long run, that's just to let you know where I am in my training as I'm working on running my second half. I mean, obviously, I'm no seasoned road racer, but I have run a marathon and a half, so I guess my point is this. I want to motivate you, no matter where you are in your training, and if you've gotten up off that couch, laced up your shoes, and you're out on the road, I want to encourage you to, man, keep that up. If you're running 2 miles and you weren't running 2 miles before, wow, that's wonderful. Or if you're trying to run your first 5K and you're training for that and it seems like it's difficult, but you're determined you're going to do it, man, you keep doing it. I've been there. All of us who have been running very long, we've all had to start. And in my case, I've had to start over due to injury and due to the layoff of several years a couple of times. At this point in my life, God willing, I don't see myself being laid off. But I understand what it's like to run 30 minutes for the first time, or to run 3 miles or 4 miles. And that is a big accomplishment. It's like when I have people to tell me that, you know, when I run the marathon, or when I ran it, I couldn't even get around the block. Well, no, you couldn't. That's right. Neither could I. But you work on it. So I share that information about me because that's where I am. And it doesn't directly apply to you. Only in the sense of letting you know that, hey, I know Roland's out there trying to do his best. And I want to inspire you. I hope that inspires you to do your best. So that's the only reason I share those. And I mean, let's be obvious. Let's be honest. I'm not super speedy or anything like that. I just enjoy it. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. But if you're going through a difficult place right now, I want to remind you, you will get through it. You will get through it. That's the purpose of me being here. Hopefully to motivate you, to help you pass the time, and to achieve your goals, no matter what they are. Be it distance, speed, racing, hitting something, a certain benchmark in your running life. And I know too that I'm talking to a lot of people who are way, way, way beyond where I am in their running. I mean, if I run 25 to 30 miles a week, I'm perfectly happy with that. Unless we're training for a marathon, especially maybe a half. Might get just over 30 a week in the peak of that. But I'm content with that. But there are people that run 40, 50, 60, 70 miles a week that listen to this program. And that's okay too. That's what's so great about running. And that's a segue, I think, into today's topic, which I don't want to get into it too much right now. Let's take a break here. Throw on some music. Hope you enjoy this selection. I spent 5 minutes picking it out. So, oh me. So I hope you enjoy it. But we'll be back in just a few minutes. And I want to talk to you about something I was just hinting at, and that's community. And we'll be right back and discuss that. Thanks again for being here, and I really appreciate it. And I sincerely thank you. Again, you're listening to episode 70 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast.
Over this morning, remembering how she said she'd never leave me. Now I'm standing at the crossroads. I wonder what my heart has said is in my hand. Leave me, boy, when I tell you that your soul goes from a child to a man. Somebody help me through the night. sentimental. Being in love, I said, so judgmental. Tell me what drives the wind. And this is your ear now, let's miss it. Cause I'm drifting and I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming like a leaf hanging on the winter's breeze. You gotta free me from my past. I free me out so I can't believe in me. Somebody help me through the night. Help me realize my deepest pride. I don't need to look around. Scratch my way across this frozen ground.
Back. We were almost to our turnaround point, and I feel good this morning, but I did want to talk about the second reason why we run. And again, this short series is not about the physical parts, although we may mention that and may discuss that in some small detail, but I've talked about that in the past. But these have more to do with the bigger concepts surrounding it. I remember when I was, well, let's see, I would have been 13, 14 years old, growing up in a broken home, and of course, I've shared that in some early episodes, and I might want to repeat it here. But someone stepped into my life at that time, and I covered that in an episode, brother of mine, and I'm not going to rehash Sammy's importance in my life, my oldest brother, what he meant to me back then. But he stepped into my life and introduced running to me. And I remember at 13, 14 years old, I literally fell in love with it. And not only did I fall in love with running, but I fell in love with the whole atmosphere of it. I remember the first race hand I went to was down in Myrtle Beach. It was a 5K. my first 5K, if I'm not mistaken. And, man, I was hooked. I remember he and I rode down there and ran the race. And at the end of the race, there was a big truck with Danny Yogurt. And they had a lot of Perrier water and fruit and all that. But I remember as I finished, especially, I don't remember the start that much, but I remember the finish. The just humanity, the small blob of humanity, however you want to call it, that was there at that race. And I remember there were people my age, a few, and there were middle-aged or older people. And of course, at 14, 15 years old, I thought, man, some of these people are really, really old. And they were probably my age. Let's see. Had to check my watch. But I was immediately hooked by the camaraderie of the running. And from that point on, Sammy and I, for, I don't know, maybe three summers, well, falls as well, and winters too, but we ran many, many races. Everything from 5Ks to, I ran one 10-miler. It was called the River to the Sea. It was from on the waterfront down in Wilmington through town. I forgot the exact route, but you know, it went out to Wrightsville Beach. I remember that. I remember finishing that race, passing a guy who ended up coming in second in my age group. Passed him within half a mile of the finish and realized that later and how sweet that was. But just the camaraderie of it. Now that was then. Well, let me back up. I remember we had two friends, Ronnie Judge and Stanley Jenkins, who also ran. And they were Sammy's age. Now, Sammy is 14 years older than me, I think. They were his buddies. But they became my buddies. And Stanley's dad, who passed away several years ago now, but his dad, also Jesse, he was probably at that time, he was well in his 60s. So here you got me, 14, 15 years old, my brother who's in his late 20s, two of his friends that age, and another guy who was 60 at least, maybe. And we would go to races together. We'd get on runs together, some of us, occasionally. And I remember what amazed me was, and it still amazes me, is that running has no eyes when it comes to age or, even as I referenced earlier, the ability. If you can build up to the point to where it actually becomes enjoyable, and I might be talking to some of you right now that you're thinking, man, my running's not too enjoyable because you're just getting started. Well, I know it's hard to begin with. I promise you, I guarantee you, if you can stay healthy and continue at it without doing too much too soon, I guarantee you that it will become enjoyable to you. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it, and neither would anybody else. But it will get there, so hang in there. But I remember the camaraderie among the wide age group and the fact that running has no, as I said, has no eyes when it comes to those things. I remember we'd go to races and see people that the only time we really saw them was when we were together for a race or something. And you learn their names and you learn something about where they lived and all of that. And then I can remember occasionally Sammy and I would get together and run, and Ronnie Judge a few times ran with us. And I can remember us playing off of each other and pushing each other. And I can remember, even though Ronnie was 14, 15 years older than me, I can remember how he beat me in every race. Which I always did well back then. I mean, I ran 36:15 for 10K, and that was my PR, and I remember that particular race in Wilmington around Greenfield Park. Ronnie beat me. But it wasn't a type of deal where you felt like, oh, I just hate that. We encouraged each other. We bounced off each other. Now let's move forward. For me, now, I do race occasionally. I don't race every month. Right now, my key races are at least one half and the North Carolina Marathon each year, which just the third year of it coming up and be my second one. First one was actually in Greensboro, and then they moved it to High Point. But I'm already beginning to learn some people. Got a neighbor behind me who runs, and another guy in our neighborhood who runs. We haven't really gotten out and run much together, but when I'm out in the yard, neighbor behind me, especially if he's running, he'll come by and we'll speak, and he'll ask me how's training going and how many did I do this week or whatever, and I'll ask him the same. Sounds pretty quaint, but there's a connection there, a community that we share. Now, one of the things about my running, which maybe you benefit from but I don't, is beyond that, I don't really have anybody that I run with. I couldn't tell you the last time, other than a race, that I ran with anybody. And in a way, that's sad. But we don't have a run club in this area. I think there's one in Winston. But I'd have to drive 20 miles, 25, just to get there through significant city. And while I could do that, I've got enough going on in my life right now that I really can't. So I'm not running with anyone. But if you, especially the beginning, if it would benefit you, it would benefit you, I think, find you a running buddy. When you read about what to do to motivate yourself, keep yourself going, in articles on the internet, it always says, find somebody to run with. Well, I don't have that literally, but that brings me up to the final point I want to make about this particular topic of community. How that I run because of community. Well, I have enough connections at the races. And I have neighbors that run that we will speak in passing, at least, or a neighbor. I've got another guy who runs in the neighborhood, but I don't know where he lives. But he doesn't stop long enough for me to really talk to him. But aside from that and the races, there is a tremendous way that I find motivation to continue on. And that's through the virtual running community. In other words, when I was running back in my teens, I needed that support, and at that age of my life and what we had been through and all of that. But for me right now, I really enjoy getting out running by myself. Not that I would not encourage someone to run with me or love to run with someone on occasion, I would. But I'm okay, just the way it is. Incidentally, if you're ever going to be in the High Point, Greensboro, North Carolina area, and you would like to link up with a run, I'd love to do that. I'll meet you somewhere, and we can run, even if it's 3 miles. I'd love to do that. Your pace. Well, unless your pace is too fast. But I'd love to do that. But what keeps me going, keeps me motivated, and as I reflect on it now, I'm beginning to realize it more and more, the virtual running community. Not just the correspondence that I have via email and Facebook and things like that, but getting on the recorder like we're doing right now and talking to you, I feel like I'm literally running with you. So there is a connection. And I know you may ask the question, like a lot of people do, well, is this so-called connection, is it ruining our ability to really communicate with each other in this world because everything is so impersonal? Well, I think it can. I have a lot of connection And I have a lot of community, people I work with, people that I deal with, particularly Christian community, but I'm talking just running here. But no, I love nothing better than sitting down with somebody over a cup of coffee, talking about what's going on in their lives. It's just, when it comes to running, I don't have an opportunity to get out on the road and do that hardly ever with another person. But my connection is through the virtual community, and my connection is through the podcasts that I listen to. As I keep up with others and what they are trying to do with their running programs, and as I share with you what I'm trying to do, that's what keeps me connected. For instance, what is Stephen Platt doing over at the Devoted Runner, which I enjoy? Or what is Matt doing over at Run Digger Run? And incidentally, Matt was supposed to come out with his 50th episode, and I think it's been a couple months since he's come out with a program. So Matt, if you happen to be listening, what's up? Why haven't we heard from you? We'd like to know what's going on. So for me, and I suspect for you, at least in limited fashion, this community has become virtual. But then when we get together at races, and people come up to me and, how's the running going, and haven't seen you since the last 5K or whatever, you reconnect all over again. So I just want to say today that to me, community, which is the opposite of solitude, I enjoy them both, but in different ways. But community is one of the reasons that I run. One of the main reasons. It's just not the traditional type of running community that you feel. In my community, I just mean connectedness. But as Steve Runner talks about sometimes, and Matt and others, their, Matt especially, over at Run Digger Run, his social networking has actually led him to connect with runners for a run that he never would have connected with. And I would welcome that for me. If, again, if you're going to be in the area, give me a call. I'll meet you somewhere, and we'll go for a run. I would love to do that. I really would. And record during the run and be able to include your thoughts as we run on a particular show. But speaking of community, I did receive a lot of correspondence this week. Actually, more than I've ever received, I think. Emails, and that includes a couple of things at iTunes that were actually put there a few weeks ago, September. And I will share those with you as well, because those comments mean a lot to me, simply because it lets me know that the program means something to you and you're listening. And if you stop listening, I'll stop recording. But as long as you listen and the program helps you in some way, encourages you, helps pass the time, whatever, I feel honored to be your host. So, I think we're going to just bring you in toward the end of this run, and we are probably 20 minutes away from that. But we'll bring you in at the end of the run, and I'll share some reader correspondence as we wrap this one up. If you're running, you might want to push it for just a couple of minutes. Okay, we are bringing it in for the home stretch. Winding up. I can't see my watch good enough at the moment, but I think we got 7 in recovery, mainly, even though we are pushing just a little bit toward the end. A couple of notes as I get to the finish relative to Chi running. One of the things that Chi running requires is quick foot turnover. And I mean, whether you're running up a hill or whether you're running downhill You're on level ground, you want your feet to run over, turn over rather quickly. And downhill, you run the downhills mostly with your lower body. And what you want to do in that case, you might want to bend your knees a little more. And if the hill is very steep, you want to exaggerate that waddle that I've talked about so that your feet are coming down under you. And of course, pushing from your heels, as I've stated before. So your lower half of your body is doing most of the work. And really, you're just falling with gravity. You can control your speed somewhat by your lean. Lean back, slow it down. But try to run parallel to the ground if you can. And then going uphill, you want to take your hands, and it's one of the few times where it is permissible to let your hands come up near your face. So what you want to do in that case is you want to pump your fists up and down, kind of like pistons. And, alright, we're finished. I'll give you some information about the run in just a minute. But you want to, going uphill, you want to pump your fists and let your upper body carry you, as it were. And your legs are long just for the ride, and you want to lean into the heel. And again, you want your heels to mainly be coming down even, flat with your foot. And if you find yourself coming down more on your toes, then you're probably running a little faster than you ought to be running. So anyway, when you're going up a hill, pump your fists, steeper the grade, lean more, relax, let your lower body go along for the ride. And if you're going down a hill, put your hands back in the neutral position, which is basically waist high, swinging toward the back, not across the front. And try to run same angle as the heel. You might want to bend your knees a little more than usual. You always run with bent knees in chi running, which to me, I think that's the key to not getting injured, knee injuries. But you want to let your lower body basically carry you along. Your upper body is not engaged as much at that point. And of course, the other item I mentioned, the third thing, uphill, downhill, the third thing, just came to me as I was running these closing hills, is you want to concentrate on that foot turnover. Now that means it may feel like that you are not really moving that much, or you're not covering as much ground, I should say, because you're taking very small steps coming up a hill particularly, but the whole time your steps are pretty small, it seems like. But I've learned doing the tempo, even in general, remember the speed will come with the form, that as I lean a little more, keep that turnover the same, I'm not lengthening my stride in the front, concentrating on the same tempo, but I go faster. Now, why is that? Well, Danny Dreyer talks about this in his book on chi running, but it is true. You are actually lengthening your stride in the back. Sounds weird, I know, but that impact, well, which is relatively none, you are like a big ball, and that impact is, you're pushing yourself as you go. And your legs are actually, your stride is opening up behind you. So that's an interesting note, I think, that you might want to be aware of. I did receive two reviews at iTunes lately. As I mentioned earlier, I think I mentioned it. And I just want to share those with you quickly. And I want to thank each one of you who have corresponded in any way with me this week or even in the past. But if you could go to iTunes and review the podcast for me, and vote if you would as well. In other words, not really vote, but you can give it up to 5 stars. If you really enjoy the show, I would appreciate that. Man, my nose is running. I love to get as many reviews on iTunes as I can, because it just lets other people know more about the show, whether it's worth listening to or whatever. And so you can help me with that. Just go to iTunes, look up the 20 Minute Runner, where you subscribe perhaps to the podcast. Give me a review, and I would personally thank you. But I did want to share two reviews, and they're brief, of course. These are both actually from September, and I had not checked lately, so I apologize to those who did the reviews, but I always want to acknowledge any correspondence that I get. I just heard the podcast on channelrunning.org. I'm so glad I stumbled upon it. It's thoroughly entertaining and definitely distracting on a long run. Keep up the great job. Jeff Soilo, S-O-I-L, EAU. Jeff, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I hope I'm not distracting you from things you need to be aware of. But no, Jeff, I know what you mean, and I appreciate your taking time to share those very kind comments. And then the other one, I just found your running podcast a couple of weeks ago. I've been listening to the Chi episodes on long runs. I think they meant during long runs. To help me do my body scanning and to remember to correct my technique. Chi running is helping me a lot. However, I have to be diligent with it. I know distance and speed will come, and as we shared today, that is true. It might not feel like it initially, but give it a few weeks, it will come. Keep the podcasts coming. I enjoy listening to them and about your experiences on your runs. And that is from Neptune Girl. Girl is spelled G-R-L-L. So I want to thank her for that review as well. And then I had a couple of emails that I want to share with you. Roland, love your podcasts. I am attaching a photo. Here's my info. And this is from Randy Greenway, Dalton, Georgia. My first 5K on the inaugural Dalton Half Marathon in 5K. And Randy, I did post your picture at the listener section there at the blog. So he says, I started running about 14 weeks ago when my church, Salem Baptist, started the Run for God 5K Challenge program. I am not sure where running will take me or how good I can do, but I look forward in continuing to improve. All the best, Randy. Randy, thank you for that email, and most of all, I want to thank you for joining the running community. You are now a runner. If you could lace up your shoes and got out to begin it, it's like John Bingham, the Penguin, says. What is it? I forget the exact quote, but something about the best thing is not that I ran the fastest or whatever, but that I had the courage to start. Well, Randy, you've started the program, and as a fellow believer, I want to remind you of the race we're running, which is greater than any 5K or marathon we'll run on this earth. But keep the faith. And Randy, thanks for listening again. And then I got another one. I'm going to abbreviate a little bit from one of my favorite, probably my favorite podcast. And it's from Stephen over at The Devoted Runner. I think it's thedevotedrunner.podbean.com. But anyway, Stephen says, it's been a while since I wrote in, so this will cover several topics. Might be lengthy. He said he enjoyed the Chi running episodes. He's been working on that himself. I apologize for this bus noise. Kids are going to school. It makes running so much easier, an injury much less problematic. And then he mentions about a good resource on form, and I didn't look these up, but I'll refer these to you guys, but I will put these at the blog, the show notes, newtonrunning.com. And then on the Garmin issue, he tells me it should show an average pace like my old one. Well, it doesn't, because I didn't have an old Garmin, and I told Stephen this in response when I responded to his email. So that is the issue, and it's not an issue with me, but the Garmin, the 110, only shows your lap time. And if you've got it set at the default, which is every mile, which I do, that means every mile it's giving you an average for that mile, not the whole run, and you cannot see your actual pace for the whole run. And I'm okay with that. I'm learning that I don't really need to see what I'm doing at that instant. But anyway, Stephen, thanks for bringing that up. He says, too, that I've talked about Garmin Connect, didn't have any place for notes. A couple training logs he used that he's been very happy with, and this I definitely would be interested in. And again, I haven't had time to check them out. I just got this email last night. The first one is trainingpeaks.com, and the other one is Sports Tracks, which we can get at zone5software.com. It's a very, very, he put it in all caps, feature-rich program which will automatically add weather data and show splits. Plus, he says you can divide the splits up no matter what your watch says, and that's very cool. And then Stephen mentions that his wife is working on her CPEs, which is Clinical Pastoral Education Units certification to become a hospice chaplain, and I'm involved in that similar type work, of course, as you may know. But anyway, we just wish her the best, praying for her. Stephen, I hope she does well. Give her my personal regards. And then he closes with, really love the podcast. Keep up the good work and keep them coming. And again, I will remind you of Stephen's podcast, and I'll put a link at the blog, The Devoted Runner. I think it's the thevegrunner.podbean.com, but I'm not sure, but I think that's right. So, thanks for all of you who correspond. You can send me an email at 20minuterunner@gmail.com. You can go to the blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. And while you're there, take the survey. You can listen to old episodes. You can see what upcoming races I've got. You can look at listener photos, of which Randy will now be posted. And there's lots of other things there you can do, so I encourage you to do that. And you can also connect with me on Facebook or Twitter, The 20 Minute Runner. I do want to say thanks to Bill, who signed up as my friend on Facebook recently. Hey, baby. Hey, bae. Bill, thanks for signing up, and it's an honor to have you as my friend as well. But you can go to Twitter or Facebook and connect with me that way. I'm not on Twitter very much at all, but Facebook, I'm on there a couple times a week. So, just go to the blog. You can do all those things there, and I'd love to hear from you. I love to hear from my listeners. I love to hear from my listeners, and I will correspond with you and get back in touch with you. One final note before we close this, we will look at a third topic next week on the reasons we run. We've covered solitude. Today we covered community. And next week, I'm not sure what we'll be covering, but I'll let you know, and I hope you'll find it interesting and tune back in then. So thanks for joining me this week. Have a great week. I'm going to get in here and get Odie, get my Propel, finish walking this off. And oh, one other thing I need to do very quickly. Okay, today we ran 7.22 miles. 1 hour, 10 minutes, 45 seconds, and our average pace was 9:48. So for a recovery run, that's about what I wanted. All right, I'm going to get out of here again. You guys take care. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.